Go loud.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up tight. Work it hard and long. When you finish that,
the hip knocker.
Welcome, Bollocks Blog. Here we go now. It's me, Paddy Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Joe Dowling. Jobstown Joe. As the no, is that can I say it? That sounds
you
stupid.
You could say whatever the fuck you want. Joe,
yeah? No, that sounds stupid as I said Jobstown Joe.
Have you ever called yourself Jobstown Joe
no,
before?
Do you know what? And I do when it's, some people slag me over. I call myself online Joe Irish.
Yeah.
Right? So my platform on social media is Joe Irish. And it's the reason we're doing that, because I run the Halfpenny Bridge Comedy Club and it's only tourists. Always English, Americans, Germans, you name it, and they're always asking, oh, what's your, and when you say Joe Dowling to them, they go, yeah, 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 and then they fuck off, then you never get any follow. So I said, no, Joe, I know it sounds stupid, but that's where,
that's
and I get more followers, and I know they might be tourists, but they still,
yeah, remember.
Still, yeah,
that's
yeah, still
like in Turkey, aren't all the boys like Bladen,
yeah,
Simon, Kusadasi, and all they call
yeah
themselves.
Yeah, 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 it's easier stuff to remember.
Yeah.
Like, but you ever put on your phone, you don't go, you know what I mean, Terrence Power, and that, like, it'd be like, podcast.
No, you go third as well, yeah.
Fuck it. No,
if you're
no,
looking you're getting, for someone, you put giving, that fucking name in.
Well, no, like, no, it's supposed Terrence. Like, there's not many
a bit
fellas out there called Terrence.
You have to put your profession.
You must have been one ugly baby to be called Terrence. What the fuck?
I was a £10 as well.
Were you?
Pictures of me as a kid, boys. I was a little bardle.
Yeah.
And then I didn't take a stretch till I was about 7, 8.
My mate's missus had a baby the other day. She was 8'2", and she's a unit. She looked like she was getting up out of the rotunda and going
no
to
way.
Yeah.
Right, skip the communion.
Give me that bleeding teeth. Straight on. Teeth and all. Born with teeth and all.
Gum shield as well.
So I would put down what I'd know them as. Like if you're, do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, because
you put down the profession.
More or less, yeah. So, because I'm, I don't know if that's fucking, I know what everyone says, they have ADHD, you know, they'd be bouncing off the walls. I'll think of what it is first. I'll be like, oh, a podcast, and then I'll go to your name, I'll type in podcast, whatever. And that's only just saying, give you an example. It's the worst thing ever happened to me, right? In relation to putting the names down, right? We're in Burger King. This has gone back a good few years ago. So, my youngest daughter, 16. Going Burger King, she was about 8, and she was having something to eat, and I said, here, find your Uncle David's name. Your brother lives in America, right? I said, here, find David's name, just to give her something to do, right? So she's, when we're having a Burger King, and she's like, she goes, you have loads of Davids, and I was like, yeah, it's David Dowling, right? And she's flicking, she loads of Davids, and she goes, do you have loads of Connors? No, so she's flicking through, and she goes, all his names, and I goes, yeah, she goes, I wonder which name you have the most of in your phone. And I said, just to keep her busy, you have a look through all the names you phone and see which name I have the most of. So she's flicking away, and I'm just finished with food. I forgot all about it, we just finished up. I got my leaving Burger King, and she goes, can I have an ice cream? So we go back in the queue for an ice cream, and in the ice cream, she's only 8, she's staying away that weekend, and she's like, that, where have you got so many Johnnies? And I was like in the queue and Burger King, I was like, oh, I'm my phone back. And now we're getting it. You know what I mean? Just putting the names in it. But yeah, Scarlet for me.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That could have been out.
Kids get you in trouble. Oh, what is yours?
What did she do? I feel like she's 8 now. She's just developing that too, so she's over it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. She's giving me some stick and all. Do you know what
yeah
I mean? You know, you say something and she just look at you and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you see, I'm a nightmare in this podcast when I get put on the spot. I'm not, I haven't got a fucking
Roy,
example.
Yeah, you're not ready for it. I'm not saying, I'm not ready for it. I'll give you, because my kids were always getting me into always. And that's where, even from doing the comedy, you remember them, you'll go, oh, that's fucking, I'll have that. And I give it, I know that was what happened a good few years ago. So, my eldest daughter, Kaylee, we used to go away. I was married for 12 years. Happily separated 8 years. Yeah. Sorry, not that sorry. Sorry. But so years ago, we were going away with the kids. And at that time, Kaylee was only about 7 or 8, maybe, or 9. And you know, you go into the pubs in Tenerife or whatever, your family, big family pub, and there's always a fella doing a bit of music. And, and you know, oh, how's it going on? There's always some Dublin fella. And you're always playing a bit of music and having a crack with everyone. And every night he used to say the same thing. Did everyone enjoy the song? Ah, yeah. And then he'd go, did anybody have any jiggy jiggy? Right? Everyone knows jiggy jiggy, don't you? So everyone laughs. Oh, no, every night, jiggy jiggy. And then one night, my young man says to me, to our nanny, right, my mother-in-law at the time, she goes, what's jiggy jiggy? And she's like, oh, she goes, he means drinky drinky. And it made perfect sense. It was like jiggy jiggy drinky drinky. So I was grand. Nothing fucking about. The next night went into the same bar and your man's banging away. Oh, how's it going? Yeah. Everyone welcome in. It's a good day. The sun shines. You get a bit of sunburn. Anyone have any jiggy jiggy? My young man's hand went straight up, right? It's only ye. And your man stops the guitar playing and he's looking off and he goes, fuck, I have to address this. And he's like, what's this little kid got their hand up for? And he goes, jiggy jiggy. He goes, yeah, we were in the zoo today. We were on the zoo today and my dad and me grandass neck off for jiggy jiggy. Your man was like, what? And he goes, yeah. And then when they come back, me mom and my nanny all went off and had jiggy jiggy. Because my granddad, my dad, your man goes, I don't want to know any more about your family. Do you know what I mean? So you're getting caught rap by the kids for the hang you know what I mean?
Have you ever listened to an episode of this show?
I'll be honest with you now.
Okay, fair enough. That's all right.
I'm not.
We're all told again.
No, I'm not. And do you know what it is? I've no attention. The attention span is too fucking shitty.
Well, you come in, a little bit of homework you had behind you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the runners, is it?
Yeah. You had no New Balance on your feet. You were warned, were you? You got a warrant.
Eric put me with on the way in. Eric Lawler was like, whatever you do, don't wear your New Balance. And I was like, why? And I was like, what, why? Obviously the laugh is, I said, what, why? I said, be honest with you, he wouldn't put me mad in fucking New Balance and she's in a wheelchair, you know what I mean? I'd rather wear I see them big corrective shoes and I'd have a pair of New Balance. Fuck that. But he was telling me you was giving stick over it, was it?
He got a little bit of stick at the start of the episode. We have a problem with New Balance. I was asking you that anyways, yeah. Because we do a thing called zingers.
Yeah, come on, zingers.
The deck outside there.
Someone just turned a New Balance at the window. What the fuck? Dickheads. Everyone's wearing them now though, aren't you? Like all the
yeah, I know a bit of it.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
The new ones.
I don't.
Do you know what? There is a spectrum with them. They're either lethal or they're stinking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
So,
but it's like that with it in general, isn't it? You see them big stupid. Do you ever see them black Nikes? They're just like someone where it looks like someone's wearing a big pair of thick socks. That's stupid looking. There's no colour in them. They're just jet black. Even the Nike sign is black. Or maybe I'm just talking about
you want about the Balenciaga yokes.
What?
That the Balenciaga yokes look like socks.
No, these are actually Nike. Like, they're actually in Nike, but and they're leather, and just even the Nike sign is just black. Everything's black on them. They're horrific looking. I don't know.
Zinger,
go on with your zinger. Go on.
It's an either or a would you rather, yeah?
Either or?
That does, like, a little right. Icebreaker question. Okay, do you know what I mean? Like, you might say, like, king or title.
Right, I'm with you, yeah.
So that's what we do, and right. But it's evolved, and they're like, would you rather got a bleeding smack of a plane or fucking get by a shark? And you're like, oh, I don't know. You know what I mean? So, like, this is how far the podcast is.
Right, okay. Yeah. Now, I've seen all the clips, and I've never listened to any podcast at all. Not being on your own, but I've seen all the... Yeah, come on, give me this. So, have you got one for us?
Have you got one for us first?
Have we got a zinger? No, not off the top of my head. No, not, I haven't. Well, give me a minute, though. Go, have you got one?
I have one, yeah. And I kind of like it. Because we're stuck, so we kind of have to like it. Would you rather have a hole in your jocks for the rest of the year or a hole in your stockings for the rest of the year?
Hole in me. Oh, yeah, that is it. Right, okay. Because a hole in your sock is proper annoying, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Hole just
With the jocks. I think you get away with the jocks, no?
Yeah, it depends on the size of your Mickey, I suppose, isn't it?
Sometimes I go home and, like, you know, when I'm getting changed, I get in the shower, and you take your jocks off, and you're like, oh, there was a hole in them, and I didn't even know, so they go in the bin then.
It's all right, though, when they think that, like, your socks, it's acceptable to have a hole in your socks because you have a toenail and a shoe. What reason do you have a hole in your jocks?
Stretching.
Stretching out the
man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might be throwing a head kick at somebody missing one day.
Yeah. No, I'd rather have a hole in my jocks. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think the socks thing is
the one that we had, that one there.
About the falling?
Yeah.
So would you rather stumble every 100 steps? Right?
Yeah.
Or spill every tour drink?
Stumble. I'd rather stumble every
100 steps.
Joe, you make a living going out on the stage. Where have you stumbled walking out on the stage?
I'm constantly falling. I think I'm already like that.
That's part of your act.
I think I'm already like that. I think I have a fucking and off balance.
I always said if I walked down the stage and I fell out, I'd walk back off.
Yeah, and
I'd leave. Like,
would you?
I'd go home.
But yeah. There's that whole stupid thing that you do. Do you ever do that? Was it true? Oh, and then you start running. Do you ever do that? Yeah.
And looking around, you know what I mean? All panicking.
We've seen a fella fall down the stairs in the bus and he just jumped up as if there's nothing happened and he just fucking just walked
like,
again.
Don't act like that just didn't happen.
Seeing a fella getting knocked down by a car, he got off the bus, ran out in front. No, sorry.
Was he all right?
Yeah, no, he was.
Laugh.
No, hang on a second. Fuck, hang on. So your man got off the bus, we were after coming out of the pub, he got off the bus and then went in front of the bus and just ran to go across and a taxi had come around and boom and hit him and went up. But like that, it's like he went down and hit the ground and then his umbrella went, but then he just jumped back up and ran the rest of the way across the road, realised his umbrella was missing and ran back into oncoming traffic to grab his umbrella again. And cars had to jam on again. They got him, brought him over and put him on the bus till ambulance came, but he seemed fine. He seemed fine.
I like them.
I didn't ask.
I like the use of the word. He seemed fine.
I didn't hang around. No, I don't think so.
I didn't hang around, because you were driving the taxi.
I think it's one of them things, though, if you ever hear of a baby falling out a window and they don't break anything. There's like, if you don't tense up, there's a whole thing where you can just, do you know what I mean?
You can play it off, yeah.
It happened to me in Benidorm. I got a belt of a taxi in Benidorm and he drove over me twice.
No.
I'm not.
And you were saying there's nothing wrong with you?
That's real.
Really?
I got a belt of a taxi and he drove over me and I don't know what all the lads were thinking, but instead of just pulling me out from underneath the taxi, they're all screaming, fuck him, reverse, and they come reverse back over me again.
Oh, so he thought he was on you and they were saying reverse?
Yeah.
You haven't got nice friends,
back over me.
Are you sure they're your friends?
Yeah, it's a real story, yeah. Bill.
Two of them were his brothers.
He were as well, yeah.
So were you just
but I was brand new,
yeah. Were you loads of drinking it as well? That's the mad thing. Yeah, that's what happens.
Once you have the gag now, you know.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? Alcohol. Yeah.
It's tomorrow's problem.
I know you don't drink around here.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
But I had tire marks on my legs from the car.
That's funny.
Even after, I was trying to scrub it on me. Like, they were fucking.
Really?
Look at that tattoo on my legs. Yeah. Right, here, I have one here, yeah?
One.
Would you rather go everywhere on rollerblades or on a bike? I think about going upstairs and all together.
No, hang on a minute, boys. Right. I seen a video of a fella. He's in Manhattan in New York. And he Googled, he has to go to this address. And he said, it's going to take this amount of time to drive and this amount on a bike. And he's on rollerblades, going down the road, going in and out with taxis and all. Oh, my nerves. Do you know when you watch something, your hands sweat?
Yeah.
It was like, what if someone opens a car door and the speed, it's like he's running.
Yeah.
And then he's going backwards and all the tricks.
Yeah, that deadly rollerblades.
Now it looked deadly.
I have a friend that used to shoplift on rollerblades.
Fuck off.
I swear to God, he used to go in and he used to go down real low, but low below the fucking...
The counter, like that.
They
can literally
move
like that.
Swear to God, I swear, from Lafarnham. From Whitechurch.
From Lafarnham, his name is Goldie Olin.
From Whitechurch. Now, everyone know who I'm talking about. This is a little...
Oh, he's not glorious.
No, he's a plasterer. He's a nice fella. But he's a lovely fella, but he used to shoplift on rollerblades. So just goes, you can do lots on rollerblades, can't you?
What, so cycle everywhere, rollerblade everywhere?
I'd rather rollerblade.
There's people who cycle everywhere regardless.
No, let's say forever, they're on you.
So at Christmas time, you can't cycle into the attic and get the kids, oh, in case there's any kids listening, this is Santi.
cut that out.
So everything you have to do on rollerblades. Yeah, I'd rather, you couldn't, as you
going said. Down the stairs and the gaff on the push.
On the push on the back wheel going down. Yeah. Straight out the gaff. But look, listen, we're all our wits end, Joe.
We're actually looking for you to save us.
I'm sorry, I don't do them ridiculous questions. I'm only messing, sorry. I'm only taking a piss. No, but yeah, you caught me on the spot. I'm not any zingers.
Right, we want one before the end, though.
I'll plug one out of the air somewhere.
Right, until then,
yes.
What we do with every guest, Joe, take us back to the start. Where are you from? What was life like growing up?
From Talla, Kilnairn. Sorry, I had a happy childhood. I was the second youngest of five, three sisters, one brother. Grew up in Caff and Talla and Kilnairn there. It was good. I was happy. Yeah, me and Elfra were fucking nuts, as most Owen and Elfras were. And then I think that's where I got the comedy from, the sense of humour. They constantly took the piss out of each other, me man and that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'll give you an example. And we laugh at pain. And you have seen me doing comedy, haven't you? Yeah. Like, and you know the way I sort of poke fun at the audience for a bit of banter. It's the same, but sometimes I feel a bit mean.
It looked like you were looking for a scrap last week.
Like, it'll be a couple of weeks soon. This is you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
when it was.
Right.
And anyways,
yeah.
I thought you were giving somebody a bit of stick. And you know, usually when you see comedians give people a bit of stick, you don't know who they're pointing at. So you just laugh at the joke that they're making.
Yeah.
You were very on the money with every joke that you made.
Right.
Because your man got up and steamrolled over the place. And I was like, oh.
Brilliant.
That was a bit harsh on the show, fella. And oh, you want to hope your man is not waiting outside.
No, but he does not get that. I know when I met him straight away, and your woman.
Remember
your woman as well, that she said she was a big Joe Dolan fan, and the husband said, oh, she'd throw her knickers up on stage, and I made it, took the piss out of her as well. But that was just like, we do you not get that? Well, obviously, he was
of course, I get it, but all I was saying was, I hope he gets it.
Yeah, no, he did. I mean? He did get a little bit, he stopped laughing after a while.
He got up and he's.
But everyone else, laughed. And it was only harmless fun. Like, let me get an example. Like, so where it goes back to, so, like, and that even saying that it's rootless. Look, all my mates, close mates, like, and even I'm sure it's the same as yourself. There's no, do you know what I mean? It makes it toughens you up and gives you a bit of fucking thick skin. Like, if we pull up in the car and my mate's in a car on the opposite side of the track saying, yeah, you roll down the windows. No, all right, how are you? It's like, oh, what's the story? I'm as ever, you know? And they just drive on. Like, it's like that. I'll give you an example. I was looking for the message earlier. My dad died literally, he's 12 weeks dead, if even that, right? And it was grand, like, my mate texts me, I hadn't seen him, the rest of my mates on a group, WhatsApp group, close mates, and he texts me and he's like, oh, listen, sorry, I just heard your dad do it, I'm really sorry, P.S. your man's a hero. How brilliant is that?
But this, like, I laugh. We speak about this all the time. Growing up in areas like ours, you use pain for humour.
Yeah,
and it's dark.
Yeah.
So nobody is shaped like
it's brilliant. And hey, my dad doing the tour, right? I was gigging at Jobstown, right, that night. And it was like he could stop doing gigs. He was sick for fucking a while, like in and out last rights and all that, 3 or 4 weeks. And I was like, and I couldn't cancel all the gigs. And I was literally doing gigs up and down the country. And I went to Jobstown that night and had a fucking great night. And then I got the call. He's on his last breath. Boom, bounced in, did it. He passed away. We're all crying. Me and my girlfriend went to the Jobstown next day. My mates were there for him, and my mate called me. Berk, I was like, oh, come on, Joe. And he's coming up. And he just gives me a hug and he just, welcome to the No Da Club. passed away, excuse me. But like, I just brought up all them stories as well, how my man and dad were with each other. Like, and I give you a sense, my man's in a wheelchair, right? And she's from a drunk driver, like, fucking years and years back, like, when I was only, like, 7 or 8 or something, there was a drunk driver come onto the wrong side of the road and fucking hit into them in another car, you know what I mean? And there was loads of them injured. Anyways, so my ma's on her bad legs in a wheelchair for years. And then I remember we was married, had me gaff. My brother's living in America, the 3 sisters there. We got the phone call, come over to the gaff, went over, walked into the kitchen. My ma's there in the wheelchair. My 3 sisters are there crying and my dad's standing there. I was like, what's up? What's going on? And my ma's like, I have breast cancer, right? And I was like, fucking. It was the first time I had cancer. Everyone knows cancer and everyone knows someone related to something's going on, right? Breast cancer, fucking hell. And I was like, oh, fuck. So everyone's crying. And then I was like, so what happens now? And my ma was like, well, I think the procedure is that we go in and I have to get one of my fucking breasts removed, like the one that has the cancer, I has to get that removed. And like, and I looked at my dad and I swear to God, the little hairs rolling down his face. And I never seen my dad cry. I literally never saw my dad cry. I was like, Dad, are you all right? And he goes, I hope it's not my favourite one they're removing. We all laughed and I broke this shitty ice. There's still a shitty circumstance in the hole that wasn't going to change anything, but I broke it and my man chased after him in our wheelchair. It was funny, like, you know what I mean? But she would have got him back years later, and I don't mean to sound like this is a horrific thing, but just we took her on the chin with laughter, you know what I mean? My man's fine, she got over the breast cancer, everything, do you know what I mean? A few years later, my dad got skin cancer. And it's the exact same time my brother, and he lives in California, he's diagnosed with skin cancer as well. It's just mad both of them got diagnosed with skin cancer at the same time. And my dad had skin cancer, and it was fucking on the top of his nose. It was a bit in his arm here, and that's when he noticed it. But then the nose was bad, they did the biopsy and all. So they had to take off the tip of your nose, you know, so the tip of his nose were removed. And it was only a day job. Like, you go into the hospital, and they remove the tip of the nose, but they replace it with the skin from your shoulder. Like it's just a soft tissue from your shoulder, he replaced it. So he brought me dad in and he was grand. He went in, got the tip of the nose removed and he replaced it with the skin and he had a little bandage over it, whatever, and went home and went into this. My ma's like, yeah, and my ma sits there the whole time. She just crochets, you know, the whole time. She's sitting there in the wheelchair or whatever, or the bigger chair. She said, all right, yeah, how's it going on? Yeah, good, yeah. And she's like, yeah, yeah, it's grand. I just got the skin from me. She goes, oh, yeah, now you're going to have to sing a change of your songs to the grandkids. And he's like, what? You know the song you sing to the grandkids? You're going to have to sing it. You're going to have to go head, shoulders, knees and toes. You like that picking on ours, man.
Oh,
but like that's just fucking how we got on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How
we just was the cope.
And it was just like, yeah, no, it is. It is. That's exactly what it is, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. and that was just me, man. That was, so that's what we grew up with. Like my dad took the piss out of my mum one day for the meeting. He was giving out about the dinner, you know what I mean? Just one of them dads, my mum was at home, he made the dinner, the out was at work and he came home and he was giving out, he's like, that was poxy to me, man. Poxy. My mum was like, that really, yeah. She goes, I'll give you something. He wanted a bit of oomph in the dinner. She goes, I'll give you a fucking oomph. So she called me home. She's like, yeah, I go up to Paul's shop. Not all the shops are all named after one fucking, just one bloke. And at Paul's shop, went up. She goes, get me a tin of Kitty Cat and a tin of Pal. We got cat food and dog food. And she gave him fucking cat food and dog food for his dinner 2 days in a row. We swear to God. And he fucking, he loved it. I don't mean this, but he wolfed it down. And I was like, man, you can't keep it. Like, fuck him. And she goes, do you like that dinner? And he goes, yeah. She goes, yeah. Well, yesterday you had Kitty Cat and today you had fucking Pal. Look, she gave him mashed potatoes and veg and a bit of gravy. And he fucking ate it. Well, he says, man, you can't keep it. Come in one day and be scratching his arse on the floor or something. You know what I mean? But that's the type of fucking, that's the type of stuff you have. You know what I mean? And then my brother's like straight. He joined the Mormons when he was 18. You know the Mormons?
Yeah. Is he a Mormon?
Yeah, my brother's a Mormon, yeah.
What's a Mormon?
It's a religion.
Yeah.
They're
Christians as well. I have loads of Mormons. Yeah, I have loads of Mormons in my family. I have loads of an uncle and auntie and all. It was one of
it's an American thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was based in
Joseph Smith
in Utah. Yeah, so they're based over there.
But some people are a bit weary of it, but overall, like the overarching goal of them, they're all very welcoming, man. Oh, 100%.
They're 100%. Because we were like that a little bit, trying to figure it out as well. When my brother changed his religion from Catholic to Mormon, he never told me ma for a couple of years. Yeah. Because he knew she'd be fucking, she'd be going mad. Oh my God, he said, we could be a fucking banging heroin up or something. And she goes, oh my God, I can't believe you got in with that crowd. He said, man, he doesn't drink or smoke, of course. Yeah. What the fuck, like? But so he joined the Mormons and then met his wife with it.
He can have multiple wives.
He went, no, that's the fundamentalist. They're a different crew. He's not on that crew. I was like,
this is mental, like, this. Is your brother up on pallet as well?
Yeah, we grew up.
And now he's a Mormon.
No, my brother,
this is mad.
No, yeah, so.
Should have got him on. No.
He'd come on. He'd talk all day. He's as funny and he's a funny bastard. I mean, it was good to go a few years between us, but we looked at him over there all the time. And so he went back to school and got his leaving state the whole lot, and then went on and got a degree and a few degrees and went to law school and became a lawyer. And he was a lawyer for a Pricewater, and he ended up teaching law in America. He's a professor in law now, and he does massive fucking lives in Laguna fucking beach, you know, massive in the hills of California, the big house, the swimming, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and I tell dick jokes.
Yeah.
And I'm my ma's favourite.
He's not on talking bollocks, is he?
Come here, what was it like growing up in Kilnardine then?
Just say,
yeah, it was.
Talley.
No, it is, because now you're saying Kilnardine, because I grew up in Kilnardine.
You have this idea that Talley, that'd be like people saying town and then being from Percy is the same as being from Sheriff Street.
Is it not?
No, are you mad?
Sorry.
I could have said anywhere else, bro.
Right. So we would have only distinctly said north side, south side. So I know all like the.
But I'm the same with Kewlock. See, like Kewlock, people are like, just no, that's this and that. I'm like, is there open Kewlock? Yeah. Shut up, you're from Kewlock.
I wouldn't have a clue either.
I'm from my chemistry.
Oh, no, you're from Dorset Street.
Yeah, but that'd be like saying that. Ah, you're from town.
You are from town, though.
No, I know that, but I'm not from Sean McDermott Street.
Mm. But it's not, you're generalising it all as town, you're from town.
Yeah, you're a townie to us and Tally, you're a townie.
He is a townie though.
No, he's a townie. Of course, like, we're townie.
Yeah.
But I mean.
And we're cultures.
Basically, yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah. Like,
we are right on the border. So where I drink the Jonestown is a little river there. And as soon as you cross that, remember back in the day, I don't know how old you were, but back in the day, it was a ban on the smoke, the coal that smoked. So we had smokeless fuel. Like, literally, there was coal that would smoke, and now there's a fuel that didn't smoke. So they sold it right there beside the river, because you were in Wicklow. But in Dublin, you couldn't sell it. So you had to walk to this. I swear to God. Well, you seem real old now, don't they?
Yeah. This is granddad.
Yeah. But even in Killinarden and being out that way, but you had horses, hadn't you? Horses were everywhere.
Yeah, but it was like more.
We had proper
that's like
wild.
A fucking fingless cable.
That's outskirts, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, but we had loads of them. We had loads of them. And everyone was on horses, you know what I mean? It was like.
I wouldn't associate him with horses.
No.
Would you?
I would, though. Clondalk, and I don't know, but you used them to make money. We just used them to go home from nightclubs.
My first exposure to horses was when my cousins brought me down to Smithfield.
Mm.
Yeah. That's when they used to have the fair in Smithfield, first Sunday of
every month. Right, yeah, the Smithfield was on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, loads
I think that's
of
back
like that. Is it?
I think so.
That was some buzz, though, wasn't it?
The first Sunday of every month or something, wasn't it?
That's what
Sunday of every month. Yeah, that's right. So where are you? You're Sheriff Street?
Dorset Street.
Dorset Street?
Yeah.
Because I was in the homeless shelter that I was in only a while ago there. There was a fella from Sheriff Street. Is that? No, that's not
good. Sheriff Street's close, yeah.
Is it, right? So when your man, but he was telling me, this fella was in and out of, like, as a child, like homes and stuff all the way through his life, and obviously he had hard, you know what I mean, and on drinking drugs and all, but it was a lovely fella, like actually soul of the earth, like, and sound. But he was telling me the stories of Sheriff Street. He was like, he goes, oh, it's not now where it used to be back in the days. This fella was nearly 60, and he said, what it used to be back in the day, he said, like, everyone on Sheriff Street left the door unlocked. Everybody. The doors were open, unlocked. And I was like, what? Was that safe? He goes, no, because if anyone was getting chased by the guards, you'd just run into anyone's house.
Yeah.
I was like, that, who noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, that's his perspective on, oh, you left
Sheriff
the doors
Street
open.
Still mad like that.
Yeah, no, I imagine still is, yeah. But he was like, you walk down the road with your handbag, no one would rob it. I was like, what are you carrying a handbag? He was sound, but he's a pure townie, and that's where most of them that I know from the townie was from up around there, up in Maple. Yeah, the North Circle.
So what was Talla like then?
Talla, we liked it. Yeah, it was carefree, innit? It was like you were either into your sports or else you were into running up the mountains and climbing trees and shit. And that's what I was. I was more of a little adventurous head of me. Little mischiefs. Yeah. Like, we're only talking about this, so I don't know if I could say, probably even say it. At my age, we were probably the last kids to be in the capital punishment in school. Did you just get clattered in school?
No, we didn't.
No,
how old do you think we are?
I don't know. He's in our 20s.
Take a guess.
Now that I know it matches, I don't know, 21, 32.
Phil.
Oh, I'm going to get clattered now, am I? Am I going again?
You think your mum was bad in the blade and laughed a little job? I'll break you up.
Sorry. No, really? Now that I know he's a little bit more, I don't know, he's in the late 20s, he is.
Give an age, isn't it?
28.
Good guess. Go on.
25.
Why is it everyone says I'm older than Calvin?
Are you younger?
He's about 9 years older than me.
Fuck off.
40.
He's 20.
You're 40.
Mm. I'm only 27.
Are you?
So I had a hard growing up.
Yeah.
He went on holidays once or twice and malnourishes the skin.
There you go.
All that carry on.
Yeah. So how did you, you was now how old I am? How old are you?
40.
48.
You're a prick. I like you.
No, hold on.
So I'm 46 on my next birthday. So, which is June. So
you left the late to start having kids then, didn't you?
No, how old are you? My eldest daughter was 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my granddaughter is 4.
So you were in your early 20s having kids. Back then, kids, people had two kids.
People had 6 kids. Back then. Stop. In Killinarden, life expectancy is only 40.
Yeah. So you left the late.
Yeah, I left the late. Well, it's not late. I was qualified plaster by the time I was 19. Mm. I started my apprenticeship, I was 15. I was qualified plaster by the time I was 19. I left Ireland straight away. Went to Ireland, down to see the world. Got as far as Liverpool. Lived there for 2 years and come back. And I met my ex-wife. And then that was it. My whole had kids and settled down in Jobstown. That was my life right up until.
Well, that's the end of the podcast there.
Say goodnight, God bless. Is that it then? Yeah. Right, goodnight. Maybe my like that, you know what I mean? I'm my favourite.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters, I'd be saying that. Many of you, is there loads of you? Is there many of you?
Guys, I have 2 sets of twin brothers.
That's quite confusing.
Six of us,
but that actually equals 10. When there's 2 sets of twins, that's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That feels like there's
ask the producer that add up and text me with it.
It feels like there's Gansey loads of us.
Is it? So is there, how many is that? 10
6.
Is? What do you mean there's 10?
It feels like more.
Oh, okay.
Twins, you get me?
You just see the same person twice.
All the time.
Double
what's
take.
Going on? There's 14 of us.
That's and then nuts. There was 5 of us then.
There's a 5 as well.
Yeah.
And are you the youngest?
Under second hands, under the oldest boy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because usually I'd have to stop like having any more than so many kids, isn't it?
See, in my family, they're spaced out. My sister's 6 years older than me.
Right.
And then my brother's 6 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And then to the next, I think it's about 7 years. Mm. And then them two are like fucking 18 months apart or something.
Right.
You know I mean, they went again.
Right. And have you so your nephews and nieces, like you?
Yeah, nieces, yeah.
Yeah, we have loads. We have seven, I think of 7 and all of his nieces.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's 5 of you. So 5 of us.
I'm the second youngest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and I went like this as well. So my sister's the eldest, sister, brother. So girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, right? So me and my eldest brother and my sister, sorry, she had 5 kids. My brother had 4. My sister had 3. Oh, you had 2. My sister had 1 in that order, in their age. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then my younger sister fucked that up. We have another kid, so that's that.
You have to start again now.
So then everyone has to have another kid now.
Right, so school.
Yeah.
You finish school, yeah?
Mm.
What goes on then? What do you do?
So straight, it was like, we already was going into construction because my dad was in, he was in restoration and building charging gaffs.
Mm.
So we restored charging gaffs and like most of my cousins and all got into that. And that's when I just loved it. I just loved fucking construction. Give me throw muck at walls all day, every day, all day long, rather than sitting in a classroom. I loved it. I took it straight away. So, yeah. And I loved that. You know what I mean? And I had my cousins then. I worked with my cousins. And I suppose I got that sense of humour out of my cousin. Ozzy, he was headbanger as well. Like, so we got good banter out with him. Like, we were walking in William Street one time. And it was like, we're on a lunch break. And all the big George and Gaffs. I was with my mate, Jenna, the same age. I mean, like the big window. So the two of us out the window looking, having a look at who's walking up and down William Street. Now it's a pedestrian, isn't it? William Street there, isn't
South
it?
South William Street.
South William Street, yeah.
Yeah, William Street's on the north. So,
as a, sorry, South William Street, right?
Yeah.
So where the Cook's just Cafe. There. Yeah, is it just here? Yeah, that's right. So we're only 15, 16, and we're just looking out, and everyone was walking. There was a fella doing a bit of busking. I mean, mate, John, I mean, squeezed into the window, squeezed in, because Ozzy's in the other window. He's smoking a spliff out the window, whatever. And we're in the other window looking. It was just this big, huge, fat fella. It was just coming up to our house, and my cousin and I just shouted, "Yeah, fuck!" Straight away. And ducks. And of course, me and John are stuck in the window. The man just went straight up to the table with something like, caught lovely, you know what I mean? It's like, and because it looks like a train, it looks like a chew. Like. So that type of like hanging someone just out of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And without being bad, like shaming or whatever. And he did the exact same to me years ago in Wexford. He went to Wexford years ago. I've been in one of them old mobiles. He's ever got the mobiles, so he's a car beach.
I don't know,
he was years younger, so I don't know what she's like. What,
a whole generation of people
it feels like that because I know my older sister had mad into the mobiles. When it got down to me, I didn't want a holiday in the mobile. Did you use holiday in mobiles?
No.
I didn't either, but I know plenty of people that did.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mates actually have mobiles.
Yeah, so is mine now. But we went down to Cairn Beach anyways this time. So everyone in the park knows all the staff in the bar. So we went down to the bar, and at the time, we were still married at the time, and loads of us went. There was gangs of us there, and loads of them had the mobiles already, and they were all sitting there. And we walked in, the bar was packed, and I'm trying to get served. There's 2 girls there, and one of them was pregnant. And she wasn't serving us at all. I'm standing there like that trying to get her attention. And she just kept saying, anyone that walked up behind you, if they knew them, they'd be like, yeah, they knew. Getting a swine. And I'm like, oh, fuck's sakes. And my missus waiting at the time. She waiting for a drink. The kids waiting for a drink. And I was like, that fucking waiting for a drink. Will you hang on? And the woman then saved me. But she just went, what do you want? And I was like, real annoyed. I said, but guys, the car is big. And whatever. And as soon as she turns around, turns her back. Because now she just goes, hurry up, you fat cunt. And she just went, what? And the other one went, she's pregnant. And I was like, what? What? Do you know what I mean? And he just ducked in behind the, yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a hanging. Just hanging, like, hurry up, you fat cunt. So that type of, yeah, but it was only this. It's only banter, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Pretty correct.
It's only banter. And it's like, do you know what? I want to tell you it's about one of the hardest gigs. Can I tell you about one of the hardest gigs I've ever did?
No.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
No.
But
I said, did you?
No, can I tell you?
I did a gig
in Mountjoy Prison.
Imagine people just like, no.
That's off the... No, because a teacher always said to me as well in school, Mountjoy for you. She was always... which is mad because when I did go to Mountjoy, I went to Mountjoy in 2019 to do a fucking comedy gig. And I love the fact that I did it. I was asked to do a comedy gig. Well, Adam Boke runs the comedy festival in Breyer. Sorry about that, bro.
We're leaving officer ringing him there. Look at him.
The JLO. So we're asked to do a gig in Mountjoy Prison in 2019. And what happened was the prisoners had done the junior cert and leaving cert, right? And they had, they're getting the certificates, and they asked what entertainment they want. And the prisoners themselves asked for a comedy show. So they got in touch with Adam. They knew he'd done the festival. And Adam gave a few of us a show. And they knew we were from backgrounds, Pat and Woody. It was a few other lads from backgrounds, you know what I mean? Working class areas. So we went in, and it was good, but it was nervous as well, because we're going in. And the prisoners in there was 150 of them all together. And they were sitting, the warden even said, this is the only project that the prisoners have done that a lot of them are segregated because of everyone, do you know what I mean? Different gangs all over Dublin. This is the only thing they'll do. They'll sit by side, and there was no killings. Everything else, you had to keep them all apart. So it was a bit. So already we knew there was fucking tension in the room, like, you know what I mean? But anyway, so we were getting the leaving cert and junior cert, and as we were walking in, they were just trying to wind us up, all banging chairs and all, going fresh meat and all, you know, banging off. We know all this and all. And we were walking, and I was just going, right, Joe. First thing what you're doing is checking yourself for drugs as you're going into the prison, because you're like, shit, there's going to be dogs here. Do you know what I mean? Like, the sniffer dogs and all, and you know what I mean? Going into the prison. So I was like, shit, have we had, just in case I had a bit of hash or something in my pocket, you know what I mean? And so we went into the prison, and I said, put me scumbag face on, just come in right into the middle. And so they're all going, fresh meat, all this shit. So I was like, right, come in straight into the middle of the prisoners and just sit down, do you know what I mean? So they were getting that junior set and they leaving set. And we were doing a bit of comedy, and my tone come up, and I was just like, I have to say, it was one of the best gigs. They fucking loved it, right? You know, when they're even laughing, but they were banging their chairs, and all,
yeah.
I was like, who did that young yourself? And they were like, yeah. All screaming. I was like, yeah, nice and well done. I relate to you, so I did me junior yourself. And I was like, who did that leaving cert? And they were like, yeah. I said, that must be shit. You didn't leave and say you're not allowed to leave. But I went to tell a story about, do you remember the snow we had there about 5 years ago, the whole place locked down?
Mm. Yeah.
And it was a snow then. They took the roof off Littles out in Jobstown.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, yeah.
The JCB. So we don't tell it, and I do still tell it to this day, the story is like, the boys up in Jobstown, up in the Littles. They knew the guards couldn't travel, so they took the JCB and they ripped the roof off Littles. They got in, they got toilet roll and milk and a canoe, because it's fucking Littles. I said, and then they got the safe and drove back to the mask off. I said, fair play to the guards. They were up like within 3 or 4 days. No, so I'm making a joke about it. But as soon as I mentioned it, they all lost their minds, like, oh! And they pointed and this fella stood up. He was like, that was me. That was me. We did the little job. He says across the window. He's like, no way.
Pleading not guilty in court. Down and up. Yeah.
No, I swear. He was like, that was me. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, oh, and I do the story now. And he was like, no, do it. I was like, no, I don't want to do it now. He's a big fucking fella. You know what I mean? Big babe. And I goes, all right, come on, I finish it. So I was like, I finished the story. I said, fair play. The guards were up within fucking 3 or 4 days. And they loved that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had a bit of banter over it. You know what I mean? But I'm doing a gig again this Monday, back where I've been invited back to Mountjoy Prison again this Monday, and it's for I'm actually looking forward to this one. It's for men's mental health. They're doing a big fucking thing in the prison for men's mental health, you know what I mean? So we're going back in there, and I'm a big fucking fan of mental health, men's mental health as well, because we've all been through fucking shit, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I had a shitty couple of years there where I experienced fucking homelessness myself, and the hardest part for me was fucking in the first 12 weeks of, and I was only homeless because not drink or drugs or mental health issues, because no fucking accommodation in the country. There's nowhere, you couldn't rent, relationship ended, looking for a fucking place to live, emailed hundreds, had nowhere to go, slept in the car, slept in the sofa, few sofas, and I just went to council. My name was already on the council list for years because I had separated, we've been separated for years, and I had my own place and I lost it, whatever. But when I went into homeless services and I was in sharing with 5 other men, and it was like fucking hard, because like the way some of these fellas were like fucking, they were smoking heroin or whatever. And look, like, everyone has that shit, you know. And I was like, fucking hell. But then it was affecting me bad then. I nearly stood in the needle and all, 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a toilet in the room, 3 bunk beds. And I got up to use the toilet and there was a fucking a needle on the blade and discarded on the floor, man. I missed away about that much. And I was like, wow, my palpitations on. But as time went on there, and I was like, what the fuck, where am I going? What's happening here? Like, you know what I mean? And I tried to get in touch because I was looking to speak. I was looking to talk with someone. Because as I told you a little bit briefly about this before, I didn't tell anyone. I told nobody. I was so embarrassed. As I said, and it was only because I couldn't get accommodation. There was nothing else. No fucking mental health issues with myself. It wasn't drink or drugs or, do you know what I mean? But I wanted to talk to something because I was finding it hard. Fortunately, no one knew, none of my family knew, none of my friends knew. And I thought, and then someone said, ring Men's Aid. And the hardest part of this shit, right, was I rang Men's Aid and the phone went unanswered, right? And I left my name and my number and no one rang me back. And then the following week, I did the exact same thing. And that happened for 5 weeks in a row. I rang Men's Aid and it went unanswered. And they fucking, no one rang me back. And I was desperate to talk to someone, like, really fucking bad. And long story short, I went to a big fucking, it was like fucking 11 months before I got a hold of Men's Aid. And I'm not saying that Men's Aid is the problem. I'm saying that underfunded and under-resourced.
Yeah,
big time. Because I did get to meet, and I went up to Dolphin House eventually after and sitting with a guy, and he was lovely. And he said, are you all right? And I got counselling where I was only because I needed to talk to someone for being fucking homeless. And as I said again, and I'm in touch with somebody at the moment about trying to talk to someone about the homeless services, because where I was, there was loads of men and women like me. And I don't mean like me, because there was loads of people that had drink, drugs, mental health issues. And I mean really bad. And the staff that were in there, some of these were only kids. And there's some really, really messed up people coming into this. And they obviously get the bed, and everyone deserves a bed. The long story short, it was where I was, there was a fucking 3-hour check to check in your room. I eventually got my own room, right? Which was great, and I was delighted, and I was so grateful of the staff, of where I was and everything else. But the only thing that was really annoying or really affected you was a 3-hour check. Do you know what they do? They check in 3 hours. Mm. Now, you understand if you're a suicide watch or you're taking drugs or something, they have to check you. But we were like, I was at the getting, excuse me, I was going back walking and all. I was mad because I was walking, I was doing comedy. I was still banging, and I don't mean to say this, I was doing like fucking big gigs, Electric Picnic, do you know what I mean? Booking the Laughter Lounge. And I got a job of fucking Netflix. Like, I was out during the day walking and building the sets as a plaster for Netflix. And I going home and doing big gigs and in there, and they'll come in your door, into your room. Night check, 3 hours, every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days for the full 2 years. And it was like, and it gets in on you. And I said, no, I still have my sleep habit. It's fucked up. And you nearly feel like that you're coming out of these places. Like, you should be going into. And I'm not saying the amount of people that are homeless now, right? And it's not, it's just because there's nowhere to fucking rent is why people are homeless. Not where it was back in the fucking 90s or early 2000s. Do you get me?
Mm.
So there's something needs to be changed on that end of it. Mm. So even though I'm out of homeless services now, I'm still in contact with someone to try and change that little system where not everyone needs them. Like, all I should have been provided, and a lot of people in there. I don't mean that this is going to sound ungrateful. I'm so grateful for getting a roof over my head and a bed to sleep. And I sent out a million emails. And the only reason why I got out of homelessness is because I didn't stand still. I emailed everyone. I got onto senators, councillors, TDs. I constantly emailed fucking people, and I didn't stop. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop. I was constantly shouting to the point of where I was. I was the longest person in that hostel, longer than staff, bar three, bar a cleaner, a chef, and one of the key workers. But everybody else, like, and they've got 20 staff, and every other person that came in there, I was there longer, and I was like, I can't, why am I not, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Why am I not getting fucking helped out here? But it needs to be changed. Sorry, I don't mean to go on a big serious note there. So this gig that I'm doing on Monday for mental health, men's mental health in Mountjoy Prison, I'm going to fucking do it with pride. I'm going to do it with because there's men out there that need to talk, like, and I know I'm headstrong, and I was kept with a lot going for me, and a lot of strong people around me that I didn't, but I'm sure there's loads of fellas out there that don't fucking take it as easy. You know what I mean, lads?
Mm.
It was hard, like.
How were you able to hide the fact that you were homeless if you're going doing gigs and...
Well, it was because you're, where do you, what do you do? How do you stop your fucking life? Your life doesn't stop. What you only wanted was a bed to sleep in, because I was emailing all them fucking... They can't think
of
them. Yeah, laying ages, all of them. I went into their offices. I literally went into their offices. Obviously, after so many months, you were telling your friends and family, well, I was a huge fucking... support for me, you know what I mean? And another friend of mine, Marshy, like another comedian, him and his mate were a big spirit. And I met my girlfriend who I'm with now. I met while I was homeless, like, you know what I mean? And told her straight away when I started dating. And it's like, it's hard, you can't even have a relationship. But I was having proper mental health issues in the fucking place. But how it kept me head above the water, don't get me wrong, like, I made fucking hundreds of people laugh in one weekend, and then I'm going home and I'm curling up on a fucking ball and crying, like, do you know what I mean? and that's hard. And then you're not, when you're getting told, you can only stay out so many nights a week, as in stay out because you want to take your kids with you, you know what I mean? I'm one close at my fucking girls, like, and even to the point where my youngest daughter must have thought I was abandoning her, you know what I mean? And I had to tell her then, I'd say, listen, and it still hurts even now thinking back and not being able to talk to anybody, as I said, in, you know, because I didn't want to talk to friends or family about how I was struggling. I didn't mind telling them then eventually that I was homeless. Do you know what I mean? Because I had to. You had to tell them. But yeah, and there was no hiding it then. Like everyone else then that knew, I was like, I know I'm in emergency accommodation. You get to the point where you're just like, you see how shitty it is around you, as in places to rent. Like you email, so I'm not getting money. I'm not even getting a reply. I was not getting a reply. Like I have to say, there's places let or it's not let. And you knew as a single bloke, you're not going to get. And I got to the point where I just kept fucking emailing. And my name was on the council list to get. And I was entitled. I had 50% custody of letters there. Me and my wife, and we split up, me and my wife. We're close enough because we're still raising the kids and a granddaughter. Like we're 50-50 all the way. I had 4 nights 1 week and 3 nights the following week. And that's the way we were with our kids. You know what I mean? But I wasn't allowed to fucking take my daughter. My daughter couldn't come. And not that you'd want her coming into a homeless shelter, but I didn't know where to bring her. She didn't want to go and sit in her aunties and your cousins and spend the night. Do you know what I mean? The weekends I had her with me, like, do you know what I mean? It was fucking tough, like, so. Got to the point where she wasn't really coming with me then. Do you know what I mean? But that hurt me. And then you have to go 7 o'clock to go and make people laugh. That's some fucking roller coaster that is. And then, but as I said, the hard thing about it, lads, is that fucking men's aid not answering. And I don't know, when I spoke to your man eventually after 11 months, I was like, fucking hell, what's going on there? And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm not sure that you're just short-staffed and under-resourced, do you know what I mean, and money and all, but it shouldn't be, like.
So. They're definitely under-resourced, like, it's easy to say now, like, don't take it personal, it's not as if they're looking and saying, ah, just skip.
No, 100%, no, 100%, I knew, but at the time when you're going, fucking, like,
struggling.
I was like, boys, I have never felt so lonely in my whole life. And I'm surrounded by so many people. I've never felt so lonely in my whole life ever. And it was like the loneliest time in my life. And it was like, that's when you're like, and I'm proper outgoing. I have loads of friends. I have a big family. I have kids that love me. You know what I mean? But on that end of it. But, but as I said, I knew, and I always said it in the shelter, and I said it, I said, as soon as I leave here, I'm out here, and I'm going to chase this folder about that whole 3-hour checks. It's not good for you. They do this thing, what's called, have you heard of sleep hygiene? So it's in the brochure. I was like, oh, we support sleep hygiene. I looked it up. It's like quieting yourself down, you know what I mean? Have a wash, prepare your bed, nice clean bed, get so much sleep and all. And it's like, you say you do that, but why is coming through my door every fucking 3 hours? I'm not being bothered at it. And I was getting up, going to work, like, because I wanted to keep myself. You couldn't sit in a hostel all day, you know what I mean? I was getting up and I was getting a job. And like, there's jobs with Netflix, by the way, job with Netflix. I've been working on and off with Ardmore Film Studios for 17 years. Jobs only come around every now and again because there's a move being made or a project being made. Where the comedy as well, it's the same. Like, you'd be busy for a week or two and then there's nothing for a couple of weeks. It's not as it was full-time. And again, where I was saying I was plastering, I gave up plastering back in 2019 to chase the fucking thing. And COVID then kicked you in the arse. And then after that, then fucking after a couple of years, then became homeless. So it was like, do you know what I mean?
Tell us about the comedy thing. How do you get into that comedy thing?
So how did I get into it? Yeah. How me starting off?
Yeah.
There was a comedy show up in the Jobstown. There was a comedy club every once a month up in the Jobstown. And the owner, the fucking Jonker boy, was like, oh, you should do that for a bit of crack. So I was bouncing in and out with the lads, having a bit of banter, you know what I mean? And Jonker boy was like, you should do that. And I was like, right. And then I shit myself and said, no, I'm not doing it. So he said he'd put a competition on. And 12 of us went in, he put a competition on, I won that. And then that was like fucking 10 years ago. I won that competition and got gigs through that, fucking with Danny O'Brien in the International. And then I went on and I was asked to run a couple of clubs. And I say, when I say run a club, you just MC it. Yeah. And that's what I fucking love. Mm. I love that MC and I love hosting. Like, I love being like, if you're opening or closing,
it's
a gig,
up the
that
crowd.
Fucking buzzing off the audience. And I said, you can't, I just love that buzz off, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, and again, I can be proper sometimes, I go, oh, but then, I don't mean to offend you. Fuck, like, I don't mean fuck off. Like,
yeah, don't go to a comedy show, ain't gonna be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, but, and you see me at that time, I might be saying I'm ruthless, but it's like, I'm a good bloke, I'm a good heart. Yeah, like, and do you know what I mean? I'm not saying I could take on a chin, but most people have never had anyone come up to me and go, never, not once. Yeah. Even if I've pushed it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? If you push it out a little bit. Like, there was a fella the other night with his missus in. And very rarely, I have to say, in the gig we have in the Halfpenny Bridge, which I host there every Thursday and Sunday, and we very rarely get Irish people coming in. So no one wants to come into Templar and pay that money. But we every now and again, we get a couple coming in. But this couple was in from Navan. And your man was like, fucking, his missus goes, he thinks he's Pierce Brosnan. He thinks he looks about it. He said, yeah, Pierce Brosnan was born in Chernobyl. Sorry. Sorry. Maybe it's too rootless, but I don't know. But he liked it. His Matt Water self.
Yeah.
It was good banter. But that's what I like in the comedy.
What was it like first time getting
them? Shitting it. I hated it. Oh, well, I loved it, but I hated the nerves coming up to it. Like, it's nervous, exciting, but...
Yeah.
So, but that's, like, you're always chasing another little goal.
Mm.
You're always chasing another little goal, do you know what I mean? So, your first goal is like, oh, I'd love to do that club. I'd love to do the international. Then you got a gig in the international. I'd love to do a gig in the Laughter Lounge. You can't, it was hard to get into the Laughter Lounge. And then there was, just how happened then, about four or five years ago, the Laughter Lounge did a competition for Ireland's Next Top Comic. And we put a name into that. You had to send a video in. And I sent a video in. And I got in out of, like, apparently there was, like, fucking, like, hundreds, nearly 1,000 people sent, even from the UK, had sent in videos just to get into this spot to do it. And I got into the Laughter Lounge competition. And I got into the final. It was a knockout again. I got into the final. But I'd already, something else booked with my kids. Was already booked from earlier on the year, a holiday. So I wasn't available to do the final. So I had to drop out of the final. But it was booked straight away then after I come back off holidays. So, yeah, I love it. I love bouncing around and doing the comedy. Like, but, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to do something else, though. You know what I mean?
Like what?
I don't know, podcast maybe.
Coming in here, taking
coming
over.
Coming in there, man, I'm only messing. I'd like to get in a bit of acting or something.
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah.
I'd like to get in a bit of acting, like.
Yeah.
I did a few small bits. I got to do a bit. I don't know if you've seen... what's the name of the Let the Wrong One In? Have you seen that Dublin movie? Have you seen it? It's a zombie, Dublin zombie movie.
I heard of it, like, it's, I haven't actually seen it. I know what
it is. It's funny, funny. So, Connor is a director, sorry, it's not content, Mark Matten, is it? He's the director of it. So, he's seen me doing something ages ago on one of my little stupid sketches, because I do sketches as well. I don't know if you've seen that. I do these little small sketches that I like to do. And he's seen me doing something ages ago. Before it was just around the COVID, and he sent me a joke saying, would I like to be on a little sketch thing calling Reeling in the Fairs? It was written by Joanne McNally. It was like, you know, Reeling in the Years. This was called Reeling in the Fairs, and it was like, oh, about taking the piss out of what people are like. And I used to play like the taxi man, big conspiracy head taxi man, but you know what I mean? Going, oh, I don't know about you, we wouldn't be eating the bleeding chow mein if I was you, you know, all this. Yeah. Like, so I got to do that with him, and then I got another shout out, and I was pulled a taxi man again. Giving a zombie a lift, I'm knocking down this fella, you know what I mean? So I enjoyed that end of it. And then I suppose then walking out in Ardmore Film Studios, I see the sets and I'm on this side of the camera where you're building sets, which I absolutely fucking love that. I would do that all day, but the hours are long out there in Ardmore. Like, you're out there, like, they want you in at like 7 till 6, do you know what I mean? Yeah, and then you could be up and down the country, you could be in Donegal or in Cork, or they send you all on set, like, but that's fucking amazing work, like, and it's not like, to come in here and plaster that wall or that wall there, you're building something like Dublin Castle, do you know what I mean? You're building these caves and, do you know what I mean? So,
did you do gigs in America?
No.
Never done a gig in America?
Never, no, I'm going to though.
Yeah, it's
I'm definitely going to. So I've been invited over this. I was supposed to fly over in July to Boston. So I did a gig, exact same way I got approached. This is the mad thing as well about being, and I'm saying fucking going back to being homeless, like the shit that I achieved, and I said, oh, I achieved this, but the stuff that I fucking did while being homeless, like MCD approached me to open for Mark Norman. Ever heard of Mark Norman?
This guy's
on Netflix, like he's fucking 10 million hits on YouTube. He's a special on Netflix, and he came over to do a gig over here in Vicar Street, and because I run the Halfpenny then, they were asked, could he do a gig in the Halfpenny? And I was like, yeah. So we ended up fucking opening for Mark Norman, and it was out in the Halfpenny. And the dude who books for MCD Promotions was in the audience, and like the way I take the piss out of someone in the audience, I was taking the piss out of him and his brother. I was like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And after the gig, then
you got a fright when he was waiting for you.
And he came straight up to me and he was like, listen, I'm from MCD Promotions and love you to do a gig with us. And I was like, fuck, nice, and wow. And he goes, yeah, would you be interested in doing an hour? And it just so happened that I had already put an hour show together and sold out a few nights in Tala and the Civic. I had sold out my own solo shows and in Wexford, or in Waterford, sorry. And I was like, yeah, I have an hour. And then my dad got sick and he was getting on to me, and then my dad died, and I was like, I said, look, let's leave it till New Year. So just so happened then, come the New Year, then he messaged me again and he was like, let's, do you want to do a gig? And I was like, yeah, nice one. And then, so we got a date off then for the fucking my first ever solo show with see the first of 2024. Like, it's getting the right people to see it. So I did a gig again. Do you remember the big, all the Americans come over, Notre Dame, is it? The two big, they closed off Dame August Street and all, was it? September, September. So, and I did a gig again, and we were full of Americans again at the Halfpenny, and I was down there all fucking taking the piss out of everyone, feeling a few jokes, and this fella comes straight up to me, and he's like, ah, man, I'm a promoter in Boston, the Anthem Group, and he says, you hear this nearly all the time, not all the time, but you're like, oh yeah, we want to give it a shout or something, but this fella's like, no, here's my card, give us a shout, and I forgot all about it. And I said, he goes, send me an email. We said, you would fucking smash the shit out of Boston. He said, like, we're just, it's another Ireland. It's like someone just went like that. We're Ireland into Boston. He said, it's full of. And I said, yeah, look this. So we looked it up and they were huge. It's a huge group, like a massive. So he emailing me then. He goes, I must get Shelby to give you a shout. And I was like, yeah, Shelby's on to me. So he had his assistant. He's like, I'm in fucking Chicago. I'm going down to Las Vegas. I'm in this. He's messaging me and goes, come on to me. So they're putting it together for a 1,500 seater in Boston in July.
Fucking wow. Nice one, what?
Yeah.
Class. So yeah, give us a shout out for that. Yeah, guest list.
So yeah, so but and the plan is, I had spoke to them. I said, I'd love to just bring some, maybe one or two comedians with me. So I have a couple of comedians of mine. We're going to do a little Irish invasion in July and bounce over. Because he said it could do it, but there, it's an outdoor gig. The 1,500, it's like an amphitheater.
Yeah.
So we're going to bounce over there and do that in July, hopefully. So
yeah.
The few
it's
gigs.
A big business going on. This
yeah,
year.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah.
Going
hopefully,
nowhere. Lads.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah. Yeah. Just like a people in the right place. Yeah, well, the graft is right, but I'm constantly gigging. I don't try not, I get too fucking edgy if I'm not doing something.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? So I like to keep the ball rolling. So it'll be good. And then obviously I have the other few gigs lined up, and then I'm touring with Willard again. I think Willard's doing Cork and Belfast and that and a few others. So I'm doing that with Willard as well. So and I was at the being touring with our partner. So I'm fucking looking forward to it. And now doing the podcast. Well, at the being
talking bollocks.
No, the talking bollocks podcast. Like I was like, fucking hell, that's like, do you know what I mean? Thanks for inviting me on, lads.
Thanks
it's
for
been an absolute
so
pleasure.
Good.
I know I mentioned at the weekend at Willa's gig, and I was like, these are two sound fuckers. Yeah, fair play. Yeah,
boys, sound,
no, yeah, well, it is. We're all literally of the same cloth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
that's it. The four of us were in the dressing room, so we said, may as well just complete.
Lovely. Yeah, thanks for that.
30. Yeah, Eric and Willa.
Thanks for the fucking invite. You're an absolute pleasure.
Thanks
coming on,
appreciate
thanks
that.
So much for having me on.
Right, we finished?
Yeah.
Take us out, Siobhan.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down. Go down. Go down.